Today's mailbag comes to us from Terry. Dear Lisa, I wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed today's masterclass on the Sunday basket. I learned so much, and I'm going to be purchasing my own Sunday basket soon to begin my own journey to a more organized life. One of the things that really resonated with me, besides the theory behind the Sunday basket and how it will work for me, were your comments about price discounts and sales and time limits to work through a course. I so appreciated your feelings about issues that have driven me nuts with other programs. Because of your thoughts on this matter, that is one of the reasons I intend to make purchasing your program a goal for me next year. Your teaching style is also one that just resonates with me. Oddly enough, I just began using index cards last month to keep my thoughts organized. When you discussed using index cards today and how to implement them in the Sunday basket, it was like a light went off for me. I am so motivated to move forward with the Sunday basket. I plan on ordering it with my next paycheck. Thank you again for offering the masterclass on the Sunday basket. I cannot wait to receive the free printables that you mentioned at the end of the class to use with the Sunday basket. Thank you again for everything.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. In the last 4 weeks, we've talked about how we look at time and what we control, which is very little, but oh, so much. And how we make decisions. And once you make a decision, you're ready to work. And last week, we talked about creating a work plan under what we can control and making some decisions, like if we're working from home, where we're working and what hours are we working and where do we put things away and what does all of that look like? Now it's time to get down to work. After I created the Sunday basket and my Friday workbox, and then I had created a workbox for my assistant, it was then time to teach this new system that I had to my direct sales team. And what I found from observing other direct sales leaders and other direct sales teams was that there were three different skills that any successful leader in direct sales had. And that it was the fact that these three skills were not identified or habitualized enough for other people to attain the same success. So the first one was selling the product that you sell. So just having customers and sales. The second one was servicing those customers, VIP customer service, keeping customers around after the initial sale. And the third piece was creating a team that could also find new customers and keep the customers around after the first sale. And as I watched all of my peers inside of Creative Memories achieve different levels of leadership, some would achieve that leadership and then fall back and then achieve it and then fall back and then achieve it and then fall back. And others would just sail right ahead and continue to achieve higher and higher leadership levels. Also, I earned some of the company trips. And when I would go on those company trips, I also observed something else. My team of downline or recruits or whatever you call your team members was usually one quarter of the size of everyone else's teams that were on whatever that incentive trip was. Additionally, my customer base was usually about 200 customers. And most of the leaders on the incentive trips that I earned had customer bases of 1,000 or more. And so I started to think about what was I doing differently that I was able to achieve these trips with one quarter of the size of the team. I had about 100 downline. Everyone else had like 400 or 500 downline. And I only had 200 customers and they had 1,000 or more customers. What was I doing differently that allowed me to have the same income level and earn the same trips as everyone else, but yet my team and my customer base was so much smaller. So I started looking at how I was growing my company. I am an extremely productivity-minded person. Shocker, news alert. As my sister would say, wait, let me put my surprise face on. So I'm very productivity-minded. And as a productivity-minded person, I don't like to waste. I don't like to waste time, effort, materials. I just don't like waste of any kind. So if I don't think things are going to be fruitful, if it's not going to achieve my goal, then I don't even go down that path and I don't get started on it. And I think I make a lot of these calculations in my head before I take any action because I'm a questioner. I'm always thinking about all these things. That by the time I take action, I move forward and I achieve the goal. So in observing this, I'm reminded of another conversation I had with a friend of mine in 2016. I'll never forget this conversation. I've already mentioned it before on the podcast. And she said to me, how many people are in the 100-day program? And I told her, and she said, oh, you could have like 10 times as many people in the program. And she said, you know, run Facebook ads, do this, do that. She said, you know that like only 10% of people, if that, who buy an online course do the online course. Like most people buy courses online, buy things, and they never actually do them. And I said, that's unacceptable. She said, what do you mean that's unacceptable? I said, no. She said, so if I wanted to buy the 100-day program today, but I told you I for sure am not going to do it, would you sell it to me? And I said, no. She was like, but I'll give you the money. Like, I'll pay you for the course, but I'm definitely not going to do it. And I was like, I'd rather not have the sale. It's a weird way of thinking, but it's my productivity mindedness. Like, I don't want you to buy something you're not going to do because maybe if you bought it, it just doesn't resonate with me. It's wasteful. And she said, well, you're leaving a lot of money on the table. And I said, I know that. I was the same way in direct sales. Like, I had a system. So I would do a home show or home party or however you want to say it. And all the direct sales companies have different lingos for this. So you would go to a home party. In most companies, it's a home party. You've been to them, Tupperware, Mary Kay, whatever. And the hostess has the party, invites all her friends, and then the rep comes from the company, tells you all about it. And you either go all in and you buy the whole kit and caboodle of whatever they're selling, and this is your new passion, your new project, your new thing, or you politely buy one thing because you've been invited to this party or not, and you go. So I would do these home shows, Creative Memories. They were called a home show. And the purpose of a home show, and usually you had 4 to 6 people there, the purpose was for them to be introduced to the concept of scrapbooking and for them to make a decision about if this was the way that they wanted to preserve their family's memories or not. And so I would show them how to do it, and everybody would make a sample page so they could try all the different things. And then at the end of the party, I would do the typical direct sales thing, and I would say, you know, would you like to make an album, make multiple albums? Is this how you would like to preserve your family memories? And if they bought like one thing and left, I knew that they did not want to preserve their family memories this way. They were being polite. They'd been invited to a show, blah, 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 blah. But then I would always have people who would say, oh gosh, I want to do all of this. I can only afford whatever. And they would purchase what they could afford. And there would always be someone in every class who would buy what we called the big kit. It was $350 and had everything you needed in order to do your albums. And it included 2 free workshops. After I had my home shows, I would get the product. Well, we had inventory, so we would actually deliver the product that day right out of the back of my car. I loved it. I loved organizing all of my supplies. And I would wait a couple weeks, and then I would call every single person that ever came to a home show I ever had. Hi, how are you? Have you gotten started on your scrapbooking? Have you thought more about, you know, what you want to do? Would you like to come to my next Friday workshop? How can I help you get your memories preserved in these archival photo albums? And if they hadn't purchased very much or they just purchased one thing, I could tell if they weren't interested in preserving their scrapbooks that way. And I would say, it was so nice to meet you. Thank you so much for coming to Susie's class. And if this isn't a good fit for you, I totally understand. Thank you so much. And I would take them off my call list, and I did not call them, and I did not consider them a customer. Now, I don't think that's how my fellow consultants did it. I think anybody that came to any show ended up on their list. So you could see how if they have 1,000 and I have 200, There are people that never ended up on my list because after that call, I realized they aren't interested in creative memories. But then of that class of six, there would usually be like three that said they were interested. One, over the course of the year, would not actually follow through. One would start coming to workshops and start to budget a little bit of money each month to spend. And one was all in. Like, creative memories was their new best friend, just like me. And I was one of those consultants that really did not do very many home shows, maybe four a year. Like, that's like none if in direct sales terms. Most people in direct sales, you're supposed to have 4 to 6 parties a month. I had like 4 to 6 parties a year. Because what I found was when I did my home shows, I basically was just like throwing a net into the, or a fishing line into the ocean, being like, does anybody want, you know, anybody want to do scrapbooks? Anybody want to do scrapbooks? And people would have these parties and then I'd have a small little group of fish there. I'd be like, anybody want to do the parties or scrapbooks? And I'd have one or two people bite the line and say, yeah, I want to do it a little bit. And one person would be like, I'm all in. I want to do it. And what I realized was, and this was 2000, and well, I started that in 1997 until 2017. I did Creative Memories. What I found was people would find out that I did scrapbooks, or I'd be talking to them about what I did, or they would find me on the locator and they would say, I'm interested in learning more about Creative Memories. I'd be like, great, when do you have an hour? My house or your house? And I would go over and I did what I called a one-on-one show. I would bring my demo album and I would bring the big kit and I would show them how this worked. I'd explain it to them. They didn't even make a page. And then I would say, here's the big kit. Here's everything in it. Do you want to get started? And 8 out of 10 times, they would just buy the big kit and they'd come to my next workshop. And that's what I was getting from home shows anyway. Like, I was usually getting one or two people out of a whole home show that decided that they wanted to be a scrapbooking person. So if I did a one-on-one and that person bought the whole kit and decided they want to be a same thing, right? Very much less time, much less stress, all of it gone. And I just was very productive that way. Now, my downline did shows, and I could go all into direct sales. I have a ridiculous amount of direct sales knowledge. I've been in 21 direct sales companies, and I've been a leader in 5. I understand the party plan industry. Let me just tell you this. But what I found for my downline was I was raised by a salesman, and my mom was an entrepreneur. And I'm an educator, so I understood when people had a desire to save their photos, I could teach them, I could educate them, I could sell them, and then I could support them in my ongoing workshops. I was confident in all those skills all the way through. And one of the best things that I learned in direct sales, and I taught my downline and I saw other people learn in direct sales, is you learn business basics, you learn confidence, you learn sales cycles, like you learn all of these things. And the difference between my team and everyone else's team on those incentive trips was the difference between pink and purple. Pink/pockets in your workbox is potential. Pink is your ideas, your dreams, your possibilities, everything that could maybe possibly happen. And purple is actionable, goal-oriented, deadline, dollars behind it, projects. So potential versus projects. Pink is your home show. There is no money that is exchanging hands when you're in direct sales and you go out and you do a home show. You actually give gifts to the hostess and you invest money in the invitations that you send out and the food that you bring. Like, it is an investment. It is a marketing effort towards seeing if you can get new customers. When people place an order, they give you dollars or they put a workshop on their calendar, they invest their time, they invest their money, they become a customer, which is purple. So pink versus purple. You can have an unending amount of pink/pockets if you want. There's so many different possibilities and ideas that you can have about growing any business that you're in, any job that you're in, any role, any responsibility. If we take a different workbox, like let's say we're going to talk about corporate here at Organize 365, we have all kinds of pink/pockets about how we can improve all of the products that we already have, services that we can add on, industries that we can approach about our organization, big box retailers we could partner with, the TV show I want to make, the magazine that we're probably going to produce. These are all pink ideas. And we're continually adding to them all of the time. Like, ooh, did you see this person did this? Or, oh, it'd be great if we had a column about this. Or, oh, we could partner with this person. Or, oh, I made this connection. the difference between pink and purple, that's all pink. There's no money that's been spent. There's no deadline that's been established. There's no goal that has been set. There's no contract that has been signed. It's all potentials, possibilities, ideas. And I probably have 40, 50, 60 pink slush pockets of all these potential things that may happen in the future. Like the TV show, which I know is going to happen eventually, has been a slush pocket since 2013. And I continually add more and more ideas to that slush pocket. The book tour that I just did, I started that dream before Organized 365 was even a thing. Back when I published my very first book in 2007, I started dreaming about having a book tour. It was a totally different book with totally different publisher with totally different aim. It was the ABCs of the Bible, which you can still get on Amazon. So some of these pink ideas that you have both at home and at work, they could take 13, 20, 40 years to materialize. So how is a pink slash pocket not just a filing cabinet? Because it's not. It's totally different. One, there's not a limited amount of pink slash pockets that you can have. So in that way, I guess you could say it's like a file cabinet because you can have so many. But pink slash pockets are still, you can still see through them. You can add index cards, little scraps of paper, newspaper articles, which, yes, I guess you could do in a file. But you don't actively touch and move through files like you do pink slash pockets. I don't put my pink slash pockets in a drawer out of the way. They are in a Friday workbox in my office. And every quarter, I go through all of them, every single quarter. And I'm reminded, oh, yeah, I want to have a TV show one day. Oh, here's another way where I think this TV show might actually come to be, or another segment that I want to have in the TV show, or totally different direction I think we're going to go for the TV show. Purple slash pockets are where you organize those ideas, those hopes, those dreams, those possibilities into actionable projects with a time block, with a deadline. You break it into chunks, you add it to your calendar. It has dollars behind it. It usually has a team and other people invested in making that become a true thing. You can only truly act on up to 5 purple slash pockets at any one time. And for me, I started with 1, and then I moved to 2, and then I moved to 3, and I organize I do this process every quarter. So when I did my Friday workbox, and I picked 1 purple priority, it was because I was a team of 1, and I couldn't do more than 1 thing. As my team has grown, I'm able to manage more purple slash pockets, and they have purple slash pockets that are different than mine. And that's how you can make a bigger impact at one time, to have multiple people working on multiple projects and priorities at the same time. But it cannot be an infinite amount. You can't have an infinite amount of purple, because then there isn't really an urgency, a deadline, a contract, a dollars. Unless you're running a department of 120 people, then you could have 400 purple slash pockets. But again, you wouldn't have 400 purple slash pockets. They would each have 4, and you would have 4. You cannot be running that many purple. You can only run a certain amount of purple. So when I looked at my pink versus purple slash pockets in my direct sales business, pink was all the potential, the ideas, the dreams, the possibilities of what could be. Ideas for my next workshop that I was going to do, my annual retreat, which I called Winter Wonderland, which is where our paper organizing retreats came from. Things I wanted to train my team on, places I wanted to go speak, and I became a speaker, an ebook that I wrote about organizing the business of direct sales that doesn't exist anymore. Like, all these things were pink. Home shows that I wanted to have, hostesses that were organizing parties for me. That actually is pink activity. It's not purple. Purple became my VIP customer service, calling every single customer I had every single quarter. And I did that the entire 20 years that I was in business. The workshops and the annual retreats that I had that were on the calendar, that was purple. The active recruiting that I was doing for my team and the training I was doing for my team, that was purple. There were only a few things that I was doing that were forward-facing, that people knew I had as priorities and projects. That's another way where you could tell if it's a pink versus a purple activity. Is it something that's on your calendar or that you're doing and only you know you're doing it? That's pink. If it's something that you're working with somebody else about, or you've told someone else about, or your customers know about it, then it is purple. So I hope that gives you a little bit of an idea into what pink and purple activities are in a Friday workbox. This is where I saw so many people, both my peers inside of Creative Memories and in other direct sales companies, not be successful was when they didn't understand the difference between pink and purple work, ideas and lead generation versus customers and dollars in the door. And often people would focus on either pink or purple, and it was after they had pink and purple together that they were able then to move on to blue, which is what we'll talk about next week.